The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. It is page 321 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. It wasn't in Apostle Paul's and his party's plans that they would deliver the gospel in Philippi. They were visiting cities in Asia Minor, and encouraged Christians there, and as a result, their faith became strengthened, and a number of new believers increased sharply. But despite this, the Holy Spirit did not allow Paul's party to preach the gospel there. It was puzzling as to why the Holy Spirit would block the spreading of the gospel, but Paul's party obeyed. In the same way that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus, who had fasted for 40 days, to the wilderness and overcome the temptations of Satan, it seemed that the Holy Spirit was leading Paul's party to yet another place so that people who needed the gospel could hear it. If Paul's party's mission had failed miserably in Asia Minor, it would have been easier for them to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit to stop their mission. But their mission in Asia Minor was going great. It would have been very difficult to discern a stop sign of the Holy Spirit, and to obey it would have been even more difficult, even if they were able to discern such a sign. But at any rate, Paul's party then wanted to go through Phrygia, the Galatia, and on to the Bithynia from the border of Mysia. But even this was not permitted. Now, Paul's party was not being busy trying to expand some business venture that they had, and they were not moving around to find a better professor or a teacher under whom they could receive an academic degree. They went all over the place in order to tell of Jesus Christ, who died the atonement of death on the cross, and the salvation that comes from him to yet one more person. And because they were doing this, they responded sensitively to the leading of the Holy Spirit and obeyed. Now, we should do this, particularly when we do the Lord's work and not our work. The Lord's work should progress and be accomplished in accordance with the Lord's will and not our will. When Paul's party arrived at Troas after passing through Mysia, Paul saw a vision at night. A Macedonian man appeared and asked him, "Come to Macedonia and help us." Paul was convinced that this vision was a leading from the Lord to spread the gospel in Macedonia. And Philippi was the first city in Macedonia to which he arrived under such a leading city in Macedonia. Now, Philippi was named after Philip II, after the father of King Alexander, and it became a part of Roman territory in 168 BC. In 42 AD, the united armies of Octavianus and Antonius defeated the united armies of Brutus and Cassius. And after that, the soldiers who had contributed significantly to the victory were settled at Philippi. After that, the discord between Octavianus and Antonius led to a war. But by Octavianus defeating the united armies of Antonius and Cleopatra in the Battle of Actium, the civil war of Rome came to an end. Octavianus, who became the emperor, called himself Augustus and settled the retired soldiers of Antonius and his armies in Philippi. And the settlers there were Roman citizens to whom Roman laws applied, and this was the greatest privilege for citizens living in colonies. Therefore, they were exempted from being flogged with whips and being arrested except for major crimes or when they were caught at the scene of the crime, and had the right to appeal directly to the Roman emperor. And they also had the right to buy and sell houses and land and to possess property, and had the right to participate, the political right to participate in the administration of the city. So they tried harder to live as Roman citizens, even more than the people who were actually living in Rome. Now, Paul's party went to Philippi after being led by the Holy Spirit twice, but the situation that unfolded before them seemed like it had nothing to do with the leading of the Holy Spirit. They used to go to a synagogue in each place they visited. At the meetings of synagogue, Gentiles who were interested in Judaism would sit at the back, and Paul's party would deliver the gospel to them. But in Philippi, there was not a single synagogue. When Sabbath came, Paul's party went to a riverside in search of a place for a place of prayer. At the time, Jewish people would build a synagogue when there were more than 10 adult men. And if the place didn't have 10 or more adult men, they decided on a place of prayer and met there. So Paul went out hoping that there would at least be a place of prayer, giving up on synagogue. But not a single man was there. Only a few women were there. And when Paul preached the words of God at the place of prayer, only Lydia, the merchant of purple cloth from Thyatira, accepted the gospel. She and her entire family became baptized. Paul's party then healed a girl who told fortunes under the influence of an evil spirit, but what awaited them as a result was a severe beating and imprisonment. And when God opened the door of the prison, the jailer thought that they had all run away and tried to kill himself. But Paul and Silas yelled out, "We're all here," and stopped him from suicide. This led to the jailer and his whole family becoming baptized. Philippi Church began with these two families and the girl who had been under the influence of the evil spirit, but who had become healed as the core of the church. However, although the church began in such mysterious and circumstances that were full of grace, there were many who were living contrary to the gospel after several years had passed, even at Philippi Church. Verse 17 testifies as follows: "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." Now, Apostle Paul, before Christ Jesus came to him, was convinced that he was a perfect person, and his outward conditions were sufficient to make him think this way. He had received circumcision after the eighth day after his birth, and he was proud of the fact that he was an Israelite and was of the tribe of Benjamin. These were things that he could be proud of from the time of his birth. And although he was born abroad, he received Hebrew education so he could speak Hebrews. He belonged to the Pharisees sect. We tried to adhere to the letter of the law strictly without an exception. In terms of his faith, he persecuted the church with zealousness. And he had no fault when it came to the law, and he regarded this as adding to his perfection. But at this time, his model was the law. But after he met Christ, he realized that the law, which served as a model for him, was like garbage. The law that he had so held on to was an obstacle to meeting Christ. And the things that he considered so noble were trite when compared to the Lord, who was noble for eternity. If the life that Paul lived before Christ was a life of race lived to grab onto something, the life he lived after he met Christ was a life of race to get hold of that which the Christ Jesus was holding. Now he's saying to the Philippian believers that they should follow after his example. Now the life of Paul is a good example for Christians. Every Christian is someone who is not running to get something that he or she chooses. It is someone who is running to get hold of that which Christ Jesus got hold of. If a person is running to get what he or she wants and tries to borrow strength from God to do this, then such person is not someone who believes in God, but someone who tries to do a bargaining, who tries to bargain with God. And he or she is someone who does not consider God as his creator and a guide, but a kind of a helper or a genie of Aladdin's magic lamp. But there were people at Philippi Church who did not follow after the example of Paul, who modeled his life after Christ, but who lived after themselves, who were finite and worldly. Verse 18 testifies as follows: "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." Now Apostle Paul refers to the people who live being pulled by their empty desires and make themselves as the reference point as enemies of the cross. There were people who lived as Paul used to live, considering the cross as their shame. And this is not the first time that Apostle Paul is entreating people who are living as enemies of the cross not to do so with a torn heart and a loud lamenting. And he says, "I have often told you." This tells us that the believers at Philippi did not listen to what Paul has said many times and did not obey him. Now these people, when they heard Paul, well, probably responded to him like this: "Teacher Paul, what the Lord says are good, but you can't live in Philippi, which is full of Roman values, being like that. You've become a fool to live that way. Apostle Paul, it's easy for you to say. You are in a jail and don't really know what's going on outside. In Philippi, you can only live by following the laws of Philippi. Teacher, don't think that only your teachings are absolutely right. We are trying in our own way to get salvation. Why aren't you acknowledging our efforts? What Paul could do when faced with these responses of the believers of Philippi church was to shed tears. When you shed tears in any situation, it means that you're not happy about it, but you have not yet given up. When your daughter takes a test and gets only 10 out of 50 right, and cries, "Shoot, I could have gotten another 2 right." Now this child still has hope. But she gets 20 out of 50 and cracks up and says, "You know, there's 5 more of my friends who did worse than me," then maybe it would be far better to have her get some vocational training rather than studying. And tears could be a sign to ask for forgiveness when the person doesn't have the right to receive it. A parent receives a phone call from a police station. "Your son was caught stealing something at a convenience store. So I think you have to come to the police station." When such a call comes, the parent would run over there and beg for forgiveness with tears. "It's all my fault. I did not teach him right. If you let him go just once, I will teach him right so that he will never do this again." Now, this does not mean that the son is not guilty, but the tears ask for forgiveness and mercy, even so. Paul's tears for Philippi church means that although they are still acting as the enemies of the cross, he has not given up praying for them, hoping that they would turn back from such a life. And that although living as enemies of the cross is committing a great sin before God, he will beg for God's forgiveness on their behalf. About the lives of Philippi believers who led Paul to continuously shed tears, verse 19 testifies as follows. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. The Jewish people waited for the Messiah no matter where they happened to live. They were always waiting for the Messiah. If Jesus, whom Paul was preaching about, was the Messiah, then they thought that he should win over Rome by supernatural power, reestablish David's dynasty, and give them freedom and prosperous world. But Jesus, whom Paul preached about, was someone who had died on the cross. They could not accept that he was the Messiah, because a person hanging on a tree symbolized a person who was being cursed by God in Deuteronomy. And so some Jewish people who lived in Philippi plunged themselves in lawless lives, eating and drinking, and considered doing shameful things as something to be proud of. And some Jewish people got lost in legalism, turning rules about food itself as an absolute, thinking one had to observe such rules to get saved, and convinced themselves that without a circumcision, one could not arrive at salvation. And living this way was to act as the enemies of the cross and running towards destruction. A As to the life of a Christian who is neither a lawless person or a legalist, verse 20 testifies as follows, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." It says that our citizenship is in heaven. And it means that we are the people of the kingdom of God. Now, the political party in power, the opposition party, the president, the mayor, the governors, all political leaders say that they are using their power to serve the common people. The dictionary meaning of the common people means a commoner who does not have a public office or has privileges based on status, and a person who is below middle class and is not economically well off. Now, this word, 서민, in Korean, which means a commoner, it is said was first used before the Warring States period in China. At the time, subjects referred to people who had surnames. At the time, not everyone could have surnames, but only the royalty and aristocrats could receive surnames from their mothers. Regular people could not have surnames and did not have them, and therefore could not be subjects. The word used to refer to them was commoners. The Chinese character, which originated from the shell and bone characters, the word commoner is actually a symbol, or it symbolizes people who are lighting fire in a cave. So the character has the meaning of common and general, but it also has the connotations of being sorrowful and being excluded. In our classic literature, Korean literature, there is a story of Hong Gil-dong. And the scene that people remember the most is when Gil-dong leaves home. Now, Gil-dong was born as the son of a government minister, but because his mother was a slave, he could not call his father father, and he could not call his brother his brother. Now, this put a nail through his heart. But when he came to leave his home, his father finally permitted him to call him his father and his brother as Gil-dong's brother. So Gil-dong, and Gil-dong is called the 서자, or the sorrowful son. In Rome those days, there was a citizen, a free man, and a slave. Over half of the population of Rome was made up of slaves. And citizens made up not quite one-fourth of the population. Most of the works were performed by slaves, and citizens governed the city and watched the gladiators fight in stadiums. In order for a person who was not a Roman citizen to become one, the person had to enlist in the Roman army and be a soldier for 21 years. Or like a Chiliarch who questioned Paul, you could become a citizen when you paid a lot of money as taxes. Apostle Paul was born as a Roman citizen, but probably his father became a citizen after paying a lot of money. If you had the citizenship, you could exercise great rights when you went out to a colony, and so people who were living in Philippi were so proud of the fact that they were Roman citizens. However, Paul says with firmness that our citizenship is with heaven. He's in fact saying people who are living in Philippi are so proud of the fact that they are citizens of Rome, are they not? But our citizenship is given by God and is incomparable to that given by the Roman emperor. In the same way that Roman citizens do not forget that they belong to Rome, we must not forget that we are the citizens of heaven, and our lives should be fitting of the kingdom of heaven. In In Greek, the word which has been translated citizenship is the word politeuma, and this word can also be translated as a country or a government. It is because it is natural to understand the phrase from there as used in verse 20 as meaning the country, the government from heaven. All of us Christians are people who live in the kingdom of God. Each country, whether it be a president, a king, or a prime minister, has a top leader. And there is no country which does not have a top leader, and the people are under the rule of such person. Now we are people who are ruled by God. When a person who lived as an anti-Christian comes to accept the Lord, or when a Sunday Christian comes to have a personal relationship with God, the thing that the person most regrets and is most sorry about is that I did not know God in the right way and did not worship Him as God. In the past, the person did not think, not even a little bit, that not knowing God was a crime at all. But after meeting God, the person comes to know that it's the greatest sin. During the time of royal dynasty, such as the Joseon dynasty, and this is true even today, what is the greatest sin, greatest crime? Stealing is a crime, and robbing is even a greater crime, and murder would still be bigger a crime, but there is a crime which cannot even be compared to those, and it is treason. If you commit murder and you are executed, only you die. But when you were guilty of treason, three family lines used to be put to death. And the threes made up your father's family, your mother's family, and your wife's family. This is how greatly a crime of treason was considered. A treason is not acknowledging the king as the king. When you meet God personally, you realize that you did not acknowledge Him as King to the depth of your being, and you come to bitterly regret it. But at the same time, you come to know how merciful God is in meeting you without abandoning you, in how He has waited for you. We are already people who acknowledge God as our King. But still, a lot of people, a lot of Christians in their practical living do not acknowledge God as their ultimate ruler. The people who lived in Philippi made their stomachs their ultimate ruler. And so they lived in the empire of desires. Our lives become the country of whatever that rules us. If finance rules us, we become a financial empire. If hobbies rule us, we become the empire of hobbies. If parents or children rule us, we become the empire of parents and empire of children. When God rules us, we become the kingdom of God. It is then that it does not matter whether we are living in a shack or a royal palace. Now, God has made all of us live in a country called Korea in this particular time. We must live here as a citizens of Korea and also as a citizens of heaven. At this place there is corruption, conflict between generations, and disease, selfishness is rampant. But we must live the truth. This could make us look like a fool. And we can feel that we're making a loss because of it. But we must live so, because God, who is our King, wants it that way. I will read verse 20 again. But our citizenship is in heaven. It does not say that our citizenship will be in heaven in future tense, but says it is in heaven in present tense. We do not become the citizen of heaven after breathing our last and going to the kingdom of God. But it says we are already now the citizens of heaven. So we are people who enact the kingdom of heaven in places where we are in our lives. Jesus, in talking about heaven, told us this parable. It is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. This parable is called the parable of treasure hidden in a field. But a lot of people think that this story is about a parable in which a person sells everything he owns and buys a treasure. And so they think it is a blessing to buy the treasure upon discovering it, to sell everything, to buy it, and to possess the kingdom of God is more valuable than everything that I own. And this could be the right interpretation, but the key a point of the parable is not about selling everything to buy the land, but the fact that the treasure is hidden out in the field. Therefore, the parable is called a treasure hidden in a field. The things that are supposed to be in the field are vegetables like radishes, cabbages, and spinach, not a treasure. So when people see the treasure, they do not recognize it as a treasure. An expensive diamond necklace is put in a jewelry case and is put away deep in the closet. If the necklace is placed in just any old container and put out on a dining room table, then it's probably not genuine, but a fake one. But Jesus says that the treasure is out in the field. And furthermore, he says that it is hidden. Now, people would think that if the treasure, people would know that if this treasure was out in a glass case of a jewelry store, they would know it to be a treasure. But since it's hidden in a field, people do not think that it can possibly be a treasure. Now, God's kingdom is already near us in this way. But because the God's kingdom does not take on the shape that people expect it to, people do not know that it is a treasure at all. So the people ignore it. But people who come to recognize it as a treasure, because of this knowledge, they throw away everything to buy it. We already live on as a citizen of heaven. But this does not mean that it will take on a shape that people admire. So there could be the mockery by the people of the world, and they could look down on us. And so many people do not try to live on as citizens of heaven, but as citizens of this world. To live as a citizen of the true citizens of the heaven is to live on as a true citizen of this world. Beloved brothers and sisters and brothers, do you really want our country to become renewed? Then let us acknowledge that God is our ultimate ruler at all times and at all places, and live as the citizens of heaven. Throw yourselves on the words of God, that is the rules of the kingdom of God, so that they will rule over us. It is then that God will purify and brighten this world through us. Let us not forget that we have citizenship not only in this world, but also in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us as to what we should be more mindful of, what we should focus on as we live. There are so many occasions on which we live as citizens of this world rather than living as people with citizenship in heaven. We confess that, like the believers of Philippi, at times our stomach was our God, that we wanted to live as we pleased, and we lived with secular values that only set their sight on things of this world. We only wanted to use the citizenship of heaven as a passport to get to the kingdom of heaven after we breathed our last, but did not try to live as a citizen of kingdom of God on this land. Although we may not be applauded by others in living as the people with citizenship in heaven, may we have courage being clothed with the Lord's encouragement. Although the place we are standing is like a shack rather than a palace, may we be ruled by God. Through God who renews us, who regenerates us, may this land, which is full of selfishness and clamors of desire, become renewed. So may we become faithful children of God who form the kingdom of God, which is full of darkness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.